Good morning, everyone. Once again, we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once again, we bring you the broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In the last few Lord's Days, we have been considering the subject of denominationalism. We believe that this is a valid concern. We believe that there are many out there who are concerned with the fact that this modern religious world of ours is divided into over 200 major religious organizations called denominations, that they all exist separate and apart from each other. They possess distinctive names and doctrines and practices, and each one claims to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been comparing this concept of things, this actuality of things, with what the Bible has to say and what the church was in New Testament times. When we spoke last, we were discussing with you some of the causes of denominationalism. We believe that there are many causes for it, and among them we suggested that the exalting of men above Christ, this in ancient Corinth, caused a problem. It caused a division within even the Lord's church. The second thing we suggested is that denominationalism is caused by holding on to traditions instead of letting the Bible speak to us. The third thing we suggested was that making laws where God had not legislated. Today we'd like to consider with you this last point again, and then study with you some of the cures for denominationalism. All of the traditional concepts in religion, contrary to the Word of God, begin with the making of laws where God has not made laws, or where God has not legislated. Regardless of the Jewish denomination of the Pharisees, Jesus stated, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men," Matthew 15 in verse 9. The Pharisee denomination had been created by the precepts or laws of men, and certainly not by the laws of God. With the passing of the years, these man-made laws became hard, fast traditions. Not only were they added to the law of God, but they were actually superseded the divine pattern that God gave. In fact, in Matthew 15, verse 6, Jesus said, "And you have made void or of none effect the word of God by or because of your tradition." Now read this statement in connection with Matthew 15, in verse 1. The making of laws in religion where God is not legislated has given rise to the disciplines and creeds of denominationalism. These disciplines and creeds either contain more or less than the New Testament, which both or either one will make them unacceptable to God. Men who are satisfied with God's revelation alone to guide them with no creed but Christ and no discipline but His Word are those that the Lord's looking for. Human laws in religion, the creeds and the disciplines of men, produce and perpetuate division. The authority of Christ produces and sustains only unity. Another reason why denominationalism exists, and I'd like to remind you of this, is a compromise with error. Jesus, while living on the earth and later through the apostles, emphatically warned his followers of the constant danger of confronting them from false teachers and error. In Matthew 24 in verse 11, Galatians 1, 8 and 9, Colossians 2, 8, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 4, the Lord was constantly warning the disciples about compromise with error. He further taught them that there could be no compromise between himself and the devil, between truth and error, between sin and righteousness, Matthew 6, 24, Matthew 12 and verse 30. The first digression from the truth in the primitive church resulted from the apathy of the Lord's followers toward false teachers and their erroneous teaching. And I think this is particularly appropriate for our time. Remember that the first digression came because we did not have the proper regard of false teachers and their teaching. In Acts the 20th chapter, verse 29 through 31, this is emphasized. Every original departure from the Word of God has been the result of compromise with the forces of error, the divisions of denominationalism being the final result. To maintain unity, there must be absolutely no compromise between truth and error, righteousness and sin. Another thing that produces denominationalism within our world is following personal desires in religion. And I would suppose that this speaks particularly to our day. The desire or the statement, I like it and I want it, therefore I shall have it. This is an attitude expressed by many, many people today in regard to a particular doctrine or practice. And let me assure you that this is plain, brazen opposition to the Word of God. Simply because we like something or we want something, therefore we will have it, is out-and-out opposition to what the Bible teaches. And such disrespect toward truth can only result in confusion and division. The basic cause contributing to the departure from the truth and the establishment and growth of denominationalism have been presented in lessons prior to this one. But I want to urge you, please never forget the most important fact that no denomination was ever made from strict adherence to the authority of Christ, the New Testament. They have never risen from that means. People never divide over what the New Testament teaches, but over what it does not teach. And I think it's vital for us to remember that. But we hasten on to the thought, what is the cure for denominationalism? Is it possible? Is it possible for us to cure this monstrous, divisive evil that exists within our world? Or is it simply impossible? You know, those who realize the tragic curse of denominationalism, the bane of it has been on the progress of religion of Christ, should certainly desire to see it rectified, see it changed. In believing that the will of Christ is the only medicine that can heal all of our moral and spiritual ills, faithful Christians confidently accept the conclusion that this medicine can, when properly applied, cure this blight of denominationalism. But there are those who are manifesting dissatisfaction regarding denominationalism, who have sought the use of human cures in rectifying it, and certainly they have failed, and sometimes have gone themselves into atheism because they have found no cure for the denominational machinery of our day. Instead of curing denominationalism, they have unwittingly encouraged and abetted it. I want you to notice the following unscriptural methods that have been used to cure religious division. Sometimes we read about a federation of denominations that are controlled by a head council. An example of this is the Federal Council of the Churches of Christ of America. Oftentimes people are concerned with, is this the Church of Christ of which you're a member? Absolutely not. It is a federation of the Council of the Churches of Christ of America. This plan has not by any means ended religious division. For each denomination represented in a particular federation or council maintains its basic autonomy with its own peculiar doctrines and practices. And such an arrangement is union without unity of mind and judgment, which is not the standard that Paul sets forth in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Sometimes we have heard of union meetings occurring in an attempt to cure denominationalism. By this method, various denominations support a union meeting or revival in which a certain individual acceptable to all does the preaching. But in such a meeting, no attempt is made to resolve the differences in doctrine and practice which keep the denominations divided. There is still actual division present in spite of the temporary declaration of peace that was made for that particular union meeting. The emphasis placed on the common ground of agreement, that is, belief in the resurrection of Christ, among the denominations participating in the meeting does nothing at all to eradicate the differences that still divide them. Another thing that is often used or attempted to use to cure religious division is false tolerance. This is the method of compromise based upon the false notion that true unity can be realized by each denomination doing as it pleases doctrinally and in practice, and at the same time conceding the right of every other denomination to do as it pleases. In other words, we agree to disagree. We can be certain that God is not pleased with that situation. Certainly God is not pleased, for false tolerance never produced unity of mind and judgment. Closing one's eyes to religious differences does not make them disappear. Would to God that we could simply close our eyes to the condition of our religious world and it would go away. But the differences are still there. They still exist to divide us and maintain denominationalism. The failure of these false methods to create religious unity proves that man's arbitrary plans and purposes do not work to the fulfilling of God's plan. Let's consider a cure. As has already been expressed, the only cure for religious division as well as for all other sins is the New Testament, the authority of Christ. This is the only standard that can bring unity out of division, order out of chaos. Since, as previously noted, religious division is basically caused by departure from the divine standard, then the only way of transition from division to unity is for those in the denominations to forsake the doctrines and practices of men and to come to the New Testament. No human discipline or creed can rally men around Christ in true unity, for only those of a particular denomination will accept its particular doctrines and practices. Since all the denominations claim to look to Jesus Christ as their leader, let them put this claim into practice by implicitly following the revelation of Christ as revealed in the New Testament in all that they believe, teach, and practice. You know, no denomination is being asked to give up any doctrine or practice that's divine in origin, such as belief in the virgin birth of Christ, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and so forth. For these are not the things that divide men religiously, but only those precepts and practices that are human in origin. The denominations must simply give up all their appellations, doctrines and practices that are not according to Christ. To illustrate, the names that are used to designate the denomination, such as Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Roman Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Scientist, etc., are not of divine origin. Nowhere in all of the New Testament can we read command, precept, or example where the true followers of Christ were ever designated by such terms. Their origin as religious designations is human and not divine. Not any of these can be used to unify those who would follow Jesus and Jesus only. Yet all of us could agree on the name Christian, surely. But if a man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God in this name. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16. These are some of the things that we offer as coming back to the Bible and back to those things that will unify us instead of emphasis upon the things that divide us. We want to thank you for listening today to these things that I realize are quite blunt and they're quite plain. But there are things that we need to see. There are things we need to come to grips with, because we do function in a divided religious world. And the fact remains that Jesus prayed that all would be one. So let's give our attention to these thoughts. Invite others to listen. We will continue next Lord's Day this same theme of denominationalism. We will let the Bible speak on this subject.